made it through episode one. Not just for The Bachelor, but episode one of You Play to Win the Rose. What's good, everybody? Welcome in. Ben Heisler, Andrew Carter. This is, I guess, technically episode 1B. If the first one was a teaser episode, I'm willing to call it episode 2. Andrew, I don't know where you stand on this, but lot to digest after 3 hours of watching. I don't know what that was on Monday night, but we have thoughts. We actually have some notes, and there's a lot to dive into.
There is, and if we're going to go on record, I think this is episode 1. I would call the teaser episode, but to make it simple, episode 1 corresponding with episode 1 of The Bachelor. Boy, was it a crazy one. I am honestly in my seat right now freaking out because it is just so much to digest, and we didn't watch on Monday night because we watched the national championship game.
Correct.
In the end, we still prioritized that. We DVR'd it, watched with our wives a little bit later.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence might have the best hair of anybody on the show.
Oh, he does, by far. I put him in some of those sequins dresses, and he's looking like Colton's number one pick, first impression Rose, let's be honest.
And then he turns around. That actually would have been hilarious. Somebody should have done that and just, like, superimposed his head with the hair on somebody's body and then did the whole turnaround. There you go. That's your next viral video.
And we shouldn't always assume everyone knows these sports references we make, so we'll just Google Trevor Lawrence. He's the quarterback for Clemson. Yeah, he looks like he would be awesome on either The Bachelor or Bachelorette.
Right. Like sunshine from We Are the Titans type of locks going on.
Oh, totally. Yeah, there was a lot of references to what he looks like. But anyways, not to get sidetracked, that was what we were doing Monday night. And we'll often kind of release this a little bit later. We are both kind of dealing with schedules, so probably Tuesdays it will come out. But you know what? People love Bachelor content whenever it comes out, and there are a lot of people that have to DVR just like us, so I think it'll be fine that way. And this one was a special one to DVR, that's for sure.
Special is one way to put it. I'm just thankful that you and I both DVR'd it, because if the other episodes are going to be these three-hour affairs. Like, you know what it felt like to me? And I hope you'll appreciate this as somebody who worked in local news, whose wife is in local news. This was a bad local news broadcast for the first hour of the show. You had, like, Chris Harrison as your anchor, like, on scene. He's like, all right, let's go out to this reporter who's at this bar ahead of the Chiefs game with all these crazy tailgaters. You know, send it out to JoJo. Woo! Yeah, that's right, guys. I'm over here. I'm talking to some drunken fans. And, you know, what do you think about the show? Just very, like, cookie-cutter questions and no substance whatsoever. And, my God, you know what else it reminded me of? It reminded me of the NCAA selection show when it finally moved over to, like, TBS and TNT. Where before on CBS, it used to be, all right, this was an hour-long show. Let's get right into the bracket. And now it's like, all right, we're going to bullshit for an hour or so, and then we'll finally release the tournament picks. This is what The Bachelor has become. There is such a need to sort of create this ambiance over 3 hours of live television so they can get the advertisers, they can get people focused in for this amount of time. And it's a terrible, terrible move. I'm sorry.
It's horrible. It's horrible as a viewer, and it's funny, the local news broadcast you're talking about, when they went out to Jason and Blake and that random person's watch party, which, by the way, out of everything that happened, good for that family. Like, we're not going to dog people because of the way the show was set up. Like, that was kind of cool for them. But the way Jason was like, we're out here in this living room. Oh, my God, the
it
excitement.
It is lit in Lansing, Michigan.
Gosh. I was like, this is like if your first job out of broadcast school was local television in a, you know, in some market like 200 and you have a viewing area of like 3,000 people. That's what it was like. Like, they're trying to make all these former contestants like celebrities, and it's cool, and I get it, and it works, but as a viewer, I have to think a lot of people were like, when are the girls going to come out of the limo?
Yeah, because it took, well, you wrote it down, what, like 59, 60 minutes before we saw the first girl walk out of the limo?
An entire hour. And I know you wanted to touch on the hot tub thing real quick with Crystal, and I don't even remember his name, whatever his name is. First of all, how they made it last for that long, I saw in your notes, but also, I've used to have a hot tub in this rental property I had in Kansas City. It sounds way cooler than it is. It was really random. But since I had it, I was like, okay, I'm going to try to keep this thing going, right? I'm going to clean it and use it. It is not cool to stay in a hot tub for more than like an hour max. How did they do that? And they put other people in there. That was crazy.
There was like a line to get in. There was a bouncer. It was very strange. People were drinking in the hot tub. Like, I don't mind the concept of it, but again, I feel like if they would have just sort of done these little bits and pieces throughout the episode, you know, if they came back to Chris Harrison for live reaction to something crazy that would have happened, then I probably would have been okay with it. But people have been waiting for a while for this season. People have been wanting some action from the show for quite some time, and you just leave them waiting for a minute. It felt like people were just turned off by it.
Oh, absolutely. They were. But at the end of the day, I think the people that watch the show still watch it. There's a reason they're tuned in, and they can get away with that stuff because they still make the money off of it. So don't hate the player. Hate the game. It still works, and we're just going to have to be along for the ride, I suppose.
Okay, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I do wonder at times if the formula that so many people grew to love this show, whether or not it does need tweaks, whether or not it does need to change, whether or not it needs to adapt with the times. Because I'm watching it to myself. We know what to expect at this point, right? Like, you and I have watched the show, not since the beginning, but you know, over the last several seasons, we're familiar with it. But it you know what's going to happen. You know the setup for every character. You know when the villain is going to come in. I understand there's a level of expectation there, but at some point, does The Bachelor need to adapt and try and make it a little bit more unpredictable?
Well, there's no surprise anymore. I was watching that episode, and we can dive into things in any order as you would like. But it was interesting when they were introducing girls, and we'll touch on that in a little bit. But, you know, the villain character, and we'll talk about Catherine later. But, like, to your point, it seems like you know what's going to happen before it happens. And there's no surprise anymore. You're like, oh, that's the producer villain. They're fake. This person has a good chance. These 10 people won't win, but they're going to be along for the ride because of drama or whatever. Like, you're really just kind of knowing what's going to happen, and you wait for the final episodes. It's like knowing in the NBA for a while, like, Golden State Warriors are going to the championship. We just got to get through the season, and then we'll actually see what happens at the end. And unfortunately, that's kind of what's happening with The Bachelor. And I don't want to say the season won't be interesting. We don't know. Just episode one kind of put all those ideas into one place in a 3-hour episode.
I like the Warriors analogy, and then the one year that the Cleveland Cavaliers won the championship was when Ari proposed to Becca and then took it back and then proposed to the other girl. It's like, I was like, oh my God, we actually have something of substance that changed on us that we weren't able to actually predict. But yeah, I think as far as the contestants go, once we finally got to hear from them after like 30 minutes or so, they picked, I believe, about 6 or 7 different contestants. I wrote down that there was Cassie, who I think was in my final four. She was in your final four as well, correct?
She was my number one, actually.
She's your number one seed, and I think we both picked her for a reason. I think she's very much, she's got an easy road. Let's say that. I think her road to the final four should be very simplistic. Hannah B, who was my one of my upset picks, the Roll Tide girl. You're right. Like, she did not have a good first impression in that video, and then eventually sort of worked her way forward a little bit. But I didn't particularly like her video at all. I felt like it was way too forced.
Yeah, I mean, let's dive into this. Let's go into the limo. Let's get past kind of the show that was for an hour, and let's dive into what we thought of these girls. And we both have some notes, and I'll touch on the ones you kind of mentioned already. So Hannah B was one of your picks, and we had a lot of talk about her on the teaser episode because it coincided with the national championship game in Alabama and all that.
Yeah, I thought it was fate.
All I have to say is she's just a little too much. She reminds me of the wide receiver on a team that's really needy and needs attention all the time. Like, she was very sensitive about everything he was doing, and she wasn't getting her chance and all of that stuff. And there's always that person. But I'll give her some credit, because after she actually talked with him one-on-one, she looked a lot better than they were making her seem before she got that chance to talk.
So not a good first impression from a Miss America contestant, which they're known for their first impression. So that was a little bit interesting. They kind of flipped it on its head a little bit.
I had Cassie, and I just want to talk to about that a little bit. Great first impression. Both of us, I think we're going to love that pick. I think she's going to make it far. And the thing is, they kind of showed her at the end in the preview of the episode on some really nice date in some foreign country. So it kind of makes you think she'll be there till the end. So that was really cool. A funny pick I had was Tracy, who looks like Tia. And she had the Fashion Police entrance, which I thought was great. I think she came out really strong. Towards the end, I kind of realized that she's going to be someone that might last for maybe 3 or 4 episodes. I don't think she's going to go far. And then I want to touch on Demi a little bit.
Yeah, I want to talk about Demi. Let me give you something on Tracy real quick, because I think she is a really good candidate. I think she's got a lot of personality, and I will be rooting for her. I think the problem is, and this is going to sound terrible, a lot of the girls on the show are really young this season. I think Tracy at 31 is probably one of the older contestants, right. And I think she's going to take a bunch of shit from some of the other girls for it.
Yeah,
I think that's unfair.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, and I don't know if it's going to be other girls or him. Ultimately, he's probably going to say, look, I've got a lot of great options at an age range at mine or below me. And for whatever reason, that seems to be a theme in this show, as we've mentioned on over the years. So you're kind of battling an uphill battle you're going to be 31.
Do you sign the quarterback on the other side of the age of 30 in this situation ahead of marriage when you're the young general manager trying to find a stud?
No, exactly. And that's what we're going to find out. You never know. But yeah, she might be able to make it far. I like her personality. Of course, we are going to touch on Hannah G. So if you're listening to this, you're like, can they just get to Hannah G? Because she got the rose. We'll get there. We just got to go through some of these because they introduced a lot of people at us. Who do you want to talk about next?
What about Tayshia? That was another upset pick that I had. And I thought her energy right off the beginning was fantastic. She's stunning. Like,
yes.
I don't think the picture on the site does her justice. She is a beautiful woman. And I'm trying to remember what her job was. I don't think I could pronounce
phlebotomist.
It. Phlebotomist. Yes, the phlebotomist. And so she made a really good impression right away. I think she has a chance to stick around for a while, possibly be a nice little upset contender. But I think you and I were both surprised by her presence in the opening show.
Did all four of your picks make it?
Hannah B., Cassie, Erica, and Tayshia. So we both had Erica, too. She got a lot of screen time, too.
Yeah, she did. I liked her, and maybe that was the let's show someone that they might get attached to early and isn't going to make it. I mean, that's pretty good. And look, I think the elephant in the room is that neither of us had Hannah G.
I don't know how. What did we miss here? How did we screw this up? And you have a little bit of insight into, you know, why you think that she was actually going to stick around for a while, and we just completely whiffed on this.
I completely whiffed, and it was my fault. And if you're going to listen to this podcast over time, which we hope you do, get used to the name Lindsay. That's my wife's name. She's been watching the show way before me. We actually met each other about 10 years ago in high school, and when we go on dates and whatever, and I'd come home and meet her parents, we would watch the show, but we never really watched it a lot until we got married, and that's who I watch it with. So Lindsay always has good insight. For whatever reason, when I made my picks, I was dumb. I didn't ask her. And when we're watching the show, she's like, oh, Hannah G, that's my girl. She's totally going to go far. I'm like, what? How do you know that? Well, it turns out Hannah G is some blogger on Instagram, a fashion blogger. And Lindsay followed her for the last couple of years before the show. And then she's like, oh, yeah, she's been, like, super happy recently. It makes me think that she's either with him or the show went really well for her. I'm like, okay, you could have told me this when I said I was going to make picks. But I don't hate it. I mean, that's Lindsay's favorite off the bat. So she was so excited that she got the first impression rose, and wow, did she make quite the impression. Hannah G on all fronts came out like a five-tool player.
she certainly brought it from all different categories. The blogger part is interesting. And by the way, my wife reads all the spoilers, so I did not consult her because I wanted to go in with a complete and have a non-bias here. But she gravitates to the camera, and she does it really naturally. I don't know if you felt that way about Hannah G at all, but I think the fact that she's a content creator and so she knows sort of how to tell a story, I think provided some intrigue there. And you could definitely tell that Colton was into her from the very beginning.
Yeah, and they were both nervous, and they were kind of telling each other how nervous they were, which I've noticed in the past is like a great game plan going in. Just be like, I'm nervous and you are too. Let's talk about how nervous we are, and then everyone feels better.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you do that later on in the night, like, you got to do that early on.
Totally.
You can't be like the 15th girl to talk to Colt and be like, let's talk about how nervous we are. Because at some point, like, you have a couple drinks, maybe you settle in a little bit, or at least he has, and maybe the women haven't. But at some point, like, you got to change your strategy as the night goes on. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, if you start to see the sun come up around 4:30 and you haven't had a chance, talking about how nervous you are isn't going to get it done.
Yeah, and I think normally if you're not talking to him early, it's a huge disadvantage. So you're kind of already behind, and yeah, maybe you don't go to that late. Let's talk about a few of the things as far as the one-on-ones and what we saw. And when I say one-on-ones, the sit-downs with him. You know, the first kiss came from Ms. North Carolina, who, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, I have no problem with any of the girls on the show. Like, I don't think you and I are going to be ones to judge them as human beings, but just as we see them through the lens of the television, mm-hmm. I just, Ms. North Carolina just doesn't do it for me from the standpoint. She just seems like she's trying so hard. It's not natural, and maybe that's the pageant girl in her. She's very competitive.
Right.
I don't know how it's going to work long term. Her kiss seemed more forced, in the sense, I got to get that first kiss so I can tell the other girls about it, as far and not being as like, I'm doing it because of Colton.
That's true. Although I think Colton, if I'm not mistaken, I thought he made the first move there. Like, I don't know if she necessarily was the aggressor.
I have to go back
and look at the tape.
But and okay, so if he did, that was a shocker then for me. Based off of her personality, it was a shocker, but it seems like she might go far. So to her credit, she could win us over. I just thought the first episode she was a little all over the place emotionally.
I don't know if she's going to necessarily win me over. I don't have anything against her. I just found her personality to be very laissez-faire. I just didn't think she was particularly interesting. I think there's some more interesting backstories with some of the other girls involved. I think it's fun to sort of set up a little bit of internal competition between Kaylin and between Hannah B. You have the two pageant contestants, and even Hannah B. mentioned it, that, you know, yeah, she beat me out, you know, whatever, good for her, but, you know, I guess the competition starts early. So you had that from the very beginning. Also, you were talking about the first kiss. We have to talk a little bit about, oh my goodness, what is her name? Never been kissed. What's her name? Is it Heather? I don't know how to feel about this. For the 22-year-old, she's from California, just absolutely stunning. I'm having a very hard time believing it, and I don't know whether that makes me a bad person or not. You know, the virgin thing, we can talk about at some point later and how much that was played into the episode, and at some point they're going to have to calm it down.
Yes.
But I don't know. The never been kissed thing just kind of felt strange to me. And well, I know that they needed a hook, but this felt like a weird hook.
She seemed authentic in the standpoint when they introduced her. They had that whole package with her, and then she had met Colton at some event, and she had a picture framed
Correct.
Of him.
Yes.
So in that sense, I feel like she really wanted to be on the show, because I think she actually does like Colton without even really knowing him. Whether or not that's going to be a turnoff for him, we'll
Right.
find out. The never been kissed thing, I guess we'll never know. My reaction to Heather, though, was she kind of reminds me of a little Colton. Like, Colton said it, like, if my 12-year-old self looked at the situation now, he'd be freaking out. Like, he plays to being a kid a lot, and Heather, not immature, she just seems like she's a little more junior high phase still.
That's really interesting. Like, all of a sudden, like, she just sort of had her own focus, or maybe she wasn't confident in herself earlier on in her life, and then, you know, eventually things sort of came along, and she just sort of figured it out for herself. I think that's a really good angle there. That's
yeah, and the way Colton explains the virginity thing, like, look, after this point, let's just touch on the virginity thing.
By the way, our girl Erica was the one who confronted him about it and just asked him straight up. So I appreciated that. Like, just
right.
like don't sugarcoat it. Just let's get out with it.
Yeah, and we're gonna hit that hard here in 1 second. But the last thing I want to say, because we have to, and no pun intended. But the thing about what were we talking about with Heather?
Yeah.
It's interesting because Colton seems to be the type of guy that later in life he kind of figured out that he had this confidence. And as time went on, he started to realize he didn't have these checklist items that everyone else had.
Right.
So, like, the virginity thing, while it might have been a decision whether his family's religious in the beginning, eventually he was open to the idea. But time went on. He's like, oh, my gosh, I have a stigma now, and it made it worse.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened with Heather. She just never kissed anyone. Then she got older and older and, like, started thinking about it more, to the point where she used that as an excuse to ever doing it. So
right.
I don't know. It's kind of a weird angle. I wonder if they're going to touch on that in the future.
The other thing, too, is that you almost wonder from that standpoint, like, the ability of sort of blooming a little bit late in terms of just sort of, like, where you are in a relationship is, like, mm-hmm. if Colton doesn't want people to judge him for not losing his virginity, is he going to then consequently judge Heather for having never kissed a guy?
I don't think he will. But at the end of the day, we're probably spending too much time on Heather, because I don't think she's a long-term option for him. She was just a very interesting case
okay.
when it came to the first episode.
By the way, I'm pretty sure she's Rapunzel in real life.
I can see it.
She might live at the top of a tower, letting her hair down, and eventually waiting for a prince to come and get her.
I think she's the one Lindsay said she needs to cut her hair.
That's probably it. Also, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in the future, I think I'm going to secretly record Lindsay throughout the show, because she starts yelling at the TV sometimes. And then we can play that in this, in our podcast, and I'll have you guess what part of the show she was screaming that thing at.
That's a really good idea. Fun. Yeah, like, I did that.
It's very emotional.
I did that once in my when I was doing radio. It was right after KU lost to Oregon at Sprint Center. And on the drive home from the bar that we were at, I just turned the recorder on and started interviewing my wife, and then played it on the radio show the next day. Like, and she's a meatball KU fan, like just screaming at the TV. She's fired Bill Self about 20 times. You know, she's MF Devontae Graham, like just everything that you could possibly say. So I kind of like bringing in that other angle of the show that's just sort of like, yeah, we're going to just record you and you're going to be a part of the show without necessarily knowing it.
Well, if you had to guess, what do you think pissed Lindsay off the most of those 3 hours? And I'll give you a hint. It had to do with the one-on-one getting to know each other. What do you think made her most mad?
That's really interesting, because was it I'm guessing it was the Catherine buttons, the four-time
yes.
button.
Yes, so I'm going to give it to you. Amazing guess, Heist. Love you. But what made her the most mad about it wasn't Catherine. It was the fact that Colton kept letting it happen. That he didn't ever stand up and say, look, you've had your chance, I'm talking to these people. Which I'm thinking maybe he had no choice and producers told him he had to let her do that.
I think he was aware that the moment she continued to come back, he probably was made aware, hey, listen, Catherine's going to be making some appearances throughout the
show. But a lot of people don't think of that stuff, so they might all of a sudden be looking at Colton as a guy who can't stand up for himself or for other people. So right. It was kind of interesting. She's like, second time I got it, third time maybe, and then by the fourth time she's like, no, Colton, you have to say no. So that was an interesting thing.
You know who, by the way, we'll talk about Catherine in a bit, but you brought up Demi. I think Demi could have been a great villain.
I think she
is. Right, but I'm saying I think the producers focused on the wrong one, unless they're just saying, okay, we're going to deal with Catherine for now because she's willing to play the role. And as you get more invested in the show, then Demi comes out. I like Demi because I think what, like, I wrote down like my two favorite villains over the course of the times that I've started watching the show. The first time I ever watched the show, do you remember Ben Flanjic? He was the winemaker in California. I don't know if you had started watching that show.
I hadn't yet, but no, so, I don't.
So he was also kind of very, you know, it wasn't a particularly interesting candidate, but the compelling part of that show was there was this model, Courtney, who ended up lasting all the way to the end. It was the first time I think the villain had really won The Bachelor. And so she held it off the entire way. And so there was always something compelling from the very beginning. And then do you remember the news anchor, Olivia?
That one might be like the first season I watched. It sounds very familiar.
Okay, so I don't remember who The Bachelor was in that season, but I think Olivia Caridi is her name. And she was an unbelievable villain, again, because of the authenticity. Like, you genuinely thought that she was being herself. With Catherine, it just feels forced. It feels like it's set up. And I even think just the casual Bachelor watcher will see her and say, no, I don't buy it. I don't believe it.
Well, I wrote down for potential villains, because that's what I was looking for, one of the things from episode one. So what I wrote for Catherine is, well, first of all, she's a DJ. So she's in it for fame and for whatever reason. She clearly is the producer pawn. It's so obvious. But what I wrote down for Demi, so I said, she's not a producer pawn, but she's going to be drama in herself. She is a hothead, and not in a bad way. She goes after it. She speaks her mind, and the other girls aren't going to like that. She also pushes Colton weirdly. Like, her mom is, like, in prison, and she talks about, like, sex like it's nothing, and that's not him at all.
Yeah, the virginity cupcake.
Yeah, so...
Which I thought was really funny, by the way. I thought that was a good analogy.
I just don't know how she's going to last over time, but I think she's going to be there for a while, and she's not going to take crap from anyone. So as far as a natural villain, I think she's one of them. Will she make some friends on the show? For sure. There'll be girls that like her, but it'll be one of those split things where you're either on her side or not.
I think that's fair. I think a lot of people will respect her for just sort of keeping it 100 for most of the time. I don't think she's there to bullshit people. But I also think that you're right. She's going to rub some people the wrong way as a result of it, too, because she won't play the game entirely the way that maybe it's supposed to be played. I also thought that it, not necessarily she's set up to be a villain, but Onyeka, the Nigerian girl, She was the one who first called out Catherine, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And sort of started that. And I almost wonder whether or not, just because she's also somebody that's going to be a little bit aggressive at times, whether or not she may not necessarily be a fair villain, but I do think there's going to be times where producers are going to be looking for something. There's going to be need to some sort of drama. She knows that she's going to talk. Maybe it falls on her a little bit too.
Yeah, it seems like she's very easygoing when it comes to talking in front of the camera, which they're going to love. And she does not mind speaking what she thinks. So that is going to be, yeah, very key going forward in some of the drama within the house. But overall, Heist, I mean, what did you think? Let's move on to the virginity thing here in a second. But what did you think of the girls as a whole? And how did you think of their first impression coming through your eyes?
I kind of wish that there was more intrigue. I mean, we talked about Demi, I think, is going to be an interesting character over the course of the show. Hannah G, I think, right from the very get-go, sort of has this nice little league. I think we underestimated Katie a little bit. Katie, who is the medical sales rep from California, she was featured in the early video. She was surprising in there, too. Tayshia, being able to sort of have this whole like setup in this board game outside, I thought that showed some creativity. But everybody else, there's nobody that really seems to stand out. Kirpa played up right to the conversation that we had. Nicole from Miami, I thought she kind of played the Miami card a little bit too much. You know, I'm still waiting to see whether or not we get anything out of Heather and whether or not that storyline continues to go on. But I mean, we felt good about Cassie. We felt good about Hannah G, and whether or not the two Miss America contestants are going to end up butting heads at some point. Those are, I guess, things to look forward to. And, you know, I thought Alex D, based on her picture, she ended up being the sloth.
Right.
I kind of thought she'd stick around a little bit and did not get the opportunity. And of course, the upset special, Brie, the Australian accent, gone. Right from the get-go, she's out of here.
No, she got a rose.
Oh, she did get a rose. I'm sorry. I might have confused her with one of the other 12 girls that look exactly like her.
No, I was about to say, oh my gosh, she made it, and I'm feeling pretty good about that pick.
Are you really?
I am. My only concern is she was very quiet. Like,
she didn't get featured at all.
She didn't. But I think every season there's that person. You're like, I never see that person, but they keep getting a rose. They might not be good for TV, but they might go far.
That was our guy Mike from Pro Football Focus on last season.
Exactly. So, yeah, no, I mean, overall, I thought that it was a decently entertaining group of girls, but it's going to have to really develop to be the great season, the most drama of all time, as it's always and, you know, teased to be when it comes to Chris Harrison and how they like to talk it up. So we'll see how that develops. But I think it's time to dive into, maybe for the last time for us, maybe we just talk about it and then we're done because we're done with it overall. And that is the plot of the virginity card.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to dive into here. I think the problem is that they knew it was going to be a talker from last season. And the fact that Colton had to address it and send out like this long Instagram and tweet about it, sort of addressing it. And I think once the producer saw that this was something that was gravitating to people, that they felt, okay, this is something that we can use as a selling point. I think the reality with Colton is that he has an interesting story. This is a former player in the NFL. This is somebody that, you know, sent out a viral video to, you know, go after Allie Raisman from a couple of years ago. Like, there's interesting components about this guy besides the virginity card. I think, if anything, maybe it creates a little bit more of a scandalous element to the show. Like, maybe there's women on the show that are talking about who's going to be the first one to steal it, or, you know, whether or not they're going to get it before the fantasy suite. Maybe in that sense, it becomes interesting, because you're going to be waiting for that moment, right? Like, you know that at some point it's going to have to be addressed later on in the show, especially when the fantasy suite comes. But overall, like, second, third date, I don't care. I don't think the listeners do, or the viewers do either.
No, at this point, we all know. It was in every single commercial leading up to this season. We knew it from The Bachelorette last year, and it's been discussed at length. Now, from the first episode, I think we have to get to a point, and I hope the show is smart enough to do this, that it just needs to be dropped. And if not completely dropped, only mentioned when it comes in comes up in conversations naturally. Like, you just can't keep pushing that, because eventually it's like, okay, people, we get it. Let's move on. So I'm already feeling that way, and we're one episode in. So I hope, and I hope they move on from that. And I think a lot of people are feeling the same way we are. I know Lindsay was.
But the thing is, though, Andrew, like, it's what we talked about at the beginning of the show, that this show doesn't really change. Like, it's right. The same narrative, and it's the same setup, and it's the same villainous characters, and there's elements about it that we enjoy. I don't know if I'm ready to give them the benefit of the doubt on their ability to move on from something that they spent so much time trying to sell us.
No, I agree. They probably won't, but at some point, there's a lot more layers to relationships than that fact, and it's just getting a little bit old already. But, you know, at times, like you said, it might bring in a scandalous element to the show and make things interesting. I'm fine with that when it comes up, but to keep pushing it and make him talk about it over and over, I mean, you can only explain it so many times. I think he's done a good job doing so. So for his sake and for people who watch the show, I think we all know at this point, and hopefully it's not at least as big of an issue moving forward as they've made it so far.
Well, you and I also talked about it briefly just via text message. His athlete training here has kind of helped him when he's been asked about it. The cliches are coming out. You know, he's just diving in head first. He's got these pregame jitters. You know, he's just going to go through it. You know, it's like the name of our show, you know, taking it one rose at a time. He's prepared and he knows how to answer a lot of this. And I actually think part of his athlete training in dealing with the media has kind of helped him out here.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to introduce the segment of the sports cliches. Every week, I want to mention what we saw and what we heard as far as a sports cliche. And maybe some weeks there won't be some, but we had, I think you wrote down three. I had two from episode one, 3-hour special. The ones that came out to me, and I probably overlooked or fast-forwarded through some of them, but he was interviewing with Chris Harrison and said, an athlete has to game plan. So that was one.
Spot on.
And then, of course, before the girls came out of the limo, he said, oh, it's very similar to when I used to play sports. I've got the pregame jitters, which was excellent. It was another great use of sports cliche and why we're going to see that element of sport throughout this season. So I'm looking forward to how many times we get some sports reference and cliche in the show.
Yeah, they're going to be flying left and right. He talked about diving in head first. I think even the butterfly thing with Cassie was something that was able to go right. I mean, athletes talk about that all the time. You know, you got butterflies in your stomach, whether you're walking up 18 or whether or not before the game's about to start or you're waiting for the national anthem to play. So there's going to be those elements that are thrown in as well. All right, I think before we go, obviously there's a lot to take in from the opening episode. And by the way, I know I mentioned Alex the Sloth. I actually thought it was a good bit, but I think she played it off too long. Like, right. It could have just been walking in, you know, after the whole, I want to do this slowly. Then she could have just been, hey, by the way, I'm Alex. You know, looking forward to getting to know you. And then
that's exactly what I wanted too. And when she kept going with it, I respected the, you know, that she stayed with the role for that long. But I'm right there with you. I was like, okay, funny. Let's move on.
I can't believe I didn't even mention this. When we were talking about the limo, we mentioned a lot of these sort of first impressions. By far and away, Hannah G crushed it with the I got you your favorite kind of underwear and gave him the box and there was nothing inside there. Brilliant. And all the other ones I thought were terrible in comparison. I thought she completely stole the show with that.
Yeah, and she got the rose for it. I mean, she really, from moment A to moment Z, was on top of her game. And I think that's why he really, really enjoyed her. And she's going to go far, very far in the show. So there were some decent ones and creative ones. But, yeah, only a few really stood out. And it was amazing to me how many girls would say their line really fast because they're really nervous, and then they wouldn't even hug him and they just walk away. It was like, that's not a good first impression.
No.
Like, I know we're all nervous here, but, like, look me in the eye. At least hug me, say it's nice to meet me, or whatever. Not this, like, okay, bye, I'll see you inside.
It sounds like you've thought this through a little bit.
No, I haven't. I just was watching it, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, like, come on. Like, that, you're not showing the confidence, and I know this is nerve-wracking, and maybe the first time you've ever had TV cameras on you, but this is your big moment. So I always think there's a disadvantage when you just say your line and walk away, and there's no interaction.
I always wonder, too, like, back in 2014, the Bachelor cast came to Kansas City, and so one of my coworkers and I, we went down there to just fill out an audition form. So we actually auditioned for the show. I don't think either of us had any intention of going on, But I was surprised that in this questionnaire that you fill out, one of the questions wasn't how would you make your first impression coming out of the limo. I feel like that would be a really good question on the questionnaire, just because it gives an opportunity for the producers to see if you have any sort of creativity at all.
Oh, absolutely. And some of them, they do. And I always wonder, like, are they paying for the carriages to come out like Cinderella? Are they paying for the police? Or does the show have, like, a budget for that and they just have to come up with the idea? Like, that's the kind of stuff I think about.
What's your turnaround time to be able to pitch that?
Yeah, like, okay, guys, I'm going to be the fashion police. I need 3 LAPD to follow me in. Can you do that? And then they're like, sure, yeah, we have $1,000 set aside for that hour for these cops. Or does she have to pay it herself? Like, then all of a sudden is there advantage for girls who have more money? I don't know. It's like a whole thing.
By the way, if anybody that's listening to this podcast, if you're a single guy and there is a bachelor casting call coming to your city, go. You will be outnumbered by about 70-1. I think me and this other guy, Nolan, that we were with, there probably was about 200 girls and about 15 guys.
Amazing. That's hilarious.
We set the over-under on the drive of how many numbers I could get just as a fact of being there. I think they set it at about 4.5, and I think I barely cleared the over.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You're just, it's like when you go fishing and you get an 18 inch fish and then like a year later it becomes a 21 inch or whatever. I'm sure you got like 3 and now you're saying you got 5 height. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know how many.
Listen, I've struck out plenty of times in my life, but I think I actually did hit the 5.
Numbers were in your favor for sure.
Clearly. Yeah. I was playing the odds to my advantage. All right. So before we go, anything that you're expecting for next episode? Are you expecting an intriguing one-on-one from the very beginning? Is there a fight that maybe you expect to happen as we head into episode 2 of the show, leading into episode 2 of this very show? What do you think stands out?
I think what stands out to me is the girls outside of Hannah G. Who are we going to see really step up and make a great impression for the long run with Colton? We saw a few, obviously, that he connected with, but you know, in longer hangout settings and when they start doing these group dates, I think it'll be really interesting to see who else stands out, obviously. And I'm ready for the emotion. I'm ready for some tears. I'm ready for some crying, because they really teased up in that little preview of the rest of the season that their emotions fly. Girls are crying left and right. Colton's crying. Colton's running away. Like,
he's climbing the fence.
Yeah, if there's one thing that's going to be entertaining about this year, it's like, which person's going to break down first because they just can't handle the scenario. So I'm looking forward to seeing how many criers we have. And that's not because I enjoy people being sad. It's just, like you said, like we need to find that element this season that's going to keep it interesting and not just the standard old type of season. So that's what I'm looking forward to, the emotional side of things, and who is going to step up to the plate and give Hannah G a run for her money.
Okay, I think I got a couple bold predictions here. The first is, I think the first two-on-one date is going to be between the Miss America contestants.
Amazing. I really hope that happens, because they stood next to each other during the rose ceremony, but you could tell that was like, I'm comfortable with you enough to do this, but I'm very competitive right now and side-eyeing you.
Yes.
So that would be a great call.
So I think that'll be a fantastic outlook down the end. And then I think the first one-on-one date is going to go to one of two women that you really didn't hear from that maybe you expected to hear from. And that's either Brie or Alex B. Alex B. lost her voice. She did the whole cue card Love Actually type thing when she walked out of the limo. She was stunning, by the way. And so I think a lot of people gravitated to her and wanted to hear more. And then with Brie, obviously, you know, the Australian accent, but then she didn't get a whole lot of camera time. I think there was some intrigue. Obviously, The Bachelor and their production team hyped her up. There's a lot of showcasing videos with that leading up to the opening episode. So I'm going to say either Alex B or Brie get the first date on the one-on-one for next week.
Okay, that's a bold prediction. That's a very bold prediction. And I like where you're coming from on that stuff.
Listen, my Alabama theory almost worked. The problem was that Alabama lost on Monday night.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's not looking good for Hannah V. And I think you said Hannah G's from Alabama, too. I don't remember.
Yeah,
if that's
both
true
the Hannahs are from Alabama.
Okay.
Hannah-bama.
Hannah-bama. That's amazing. So, yeah, no, I love your predictions. I hope it happens. And I hope episode 2 we kind of pull away the curtain a little bit and learn more about who these people are, and maybe focus a little less on the fact that he's a virgin. So.
Yes, and then less Catherine, more Demi as a virgin, or as a villain. That's
there. Hey, not your fault. It's that word has been thrown at us over and over again.
All right, so before I have any more Freudian slips, thank you guys for listening. Episode one, officially, of You Play to Win the Rose. He's Andrew. Follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Carter. Me, you can find at Benny Heiss. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back again next week for episode two of You Play to Win the Rose. Until then, be good. Take a piece of tinsel.